This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It helps when I push the button. Good morning, this is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan, one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. It's a chilly morning out there, but Dennis and I are in-house. We did our dump runs already. And here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and get online, 860-522-9842 is the number. And we would be happy to do that, give you guys any kind of advice we can on technology. I've been doing it for almost, I don't know, 28 years or so.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It was before you actually could mute your TV with some sort of computer, right?
Right.
You know, my refrigerator actually does talk to me right now, and it can tell me its temperature, and it's amazing.
Wow, but do you have conversations with it, or?
Well, it does tell me it needs a filter change, so it does talk to me. I'm not sure it hears me when I talk back to it and say, no filter for you. But those days of the old days, we're talking about, you know, keyboard issues, mouse issues, BIOS issues, baud issues.
Setting jumpers on add-in cards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The old days. Now it's much more complicated. But we're here to help you guys do whatever you want to do. I got my smoke detectors in. I haven't put them up yet. That's my weekend thing to do. Looking at very, very excited about that. Don't even know why I am, but I am. We'll see how that goes. But as usual and customary, we do have some technology news for you, and Dennis has got some articles he wanted to bring up.
Yeah, we have an interesting story about Microsoft.
Of course.
Everybody's favorite tech company.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how Microsoft has this habit of wrecking stuff with updates, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is another of those all too many occasions where they kneecapped themselves.
Right.
What happened was with a Windows 10 patch that came out just recently, it crashed OneDrive.
What's OneDrive, Dennis?
OneDrive is Microsoft's own cloud storage product.
Right. They didn't call it A Drive.
They called it OneDrive.
It's OneDrive.
Because it used to be SkyDrive until they found out that some company in the UK
Sky
had a copyright or trademark on that name, so they had to change it. Anyway.
All right. It's OneDrive.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that they've been selling all over the place because, as we know, Microsoft has been really pushing their cloud products over the last few years.
Yep.
So they get all these people using OneDrive for their storage, and it usually works pretty nice. We have some clients that use it.
Sure, and then the issue here is usually is the keyword here. It usually works.
And here what happened was they put out an update that crashes OneDrive. So now people's files aren't syncing between their computers and the cloud storage.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is that you can't even disconnect your computer from OneDrive if your computer is having this issue, because the act of trying to unlink your account with OneDrive will itself crash the app again.
Oh, my goodness. The whole app.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So you know, people are, I'm not sure if people are actually like losing files over this. It's conceivable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably not that easy to have happen, but it can.
Right. The point is you can't even use your files because they're not there.
Right. And the only way you could is if you went into the web interface, but that's kind of a mess because what you have to do is download the file to your computer, save it somewhere, edit it, then upload it back. And that's a lot of manual work.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it ain't going to get done for everybody.
Right. Interesting.
And people are going to lose data because of this. And Microsoft is saying, don't worry, we'll release a fix the next time we patch Windows.
Well, the other point about you're losing data is a good one, right? So having it in the cloud doesn't mean it's backed up, does it, Dennis?
No.
So you could actually make a mistake, as we've seen even in this past week, customers deleted data on their local machine that was syncing to the OneDrive. And the system said, oh, you don't need this anymore is what you're telling me. You're deleting this file. I'm going to go ahead and make that synchronously the same thing out here in the cloud. And then the guy's like a couple weeks later or so, hey, where's my files? Well, you deleted Microsoft's saying, well, you deleted them because you didn't want them.
Uh-huh.
Right? That synchronization occurred. So how would you get that data back? Well, there is a small tiny window that Microsoft may be able to recover your data. After that window, you are out of luck. The cloud is not backing up your stuff.
Right.
So you literally need a cloud backup of your cloud system that somebody said would never go down and would never lose your data. Now, that wouldn't have been me that said that. But somebody
no,
said that to you.
I would never say it either.
No. But plenty of people who sell it say that. But you'd need to back up your 365. You need to back up your Google Docs systems, your G Suite, right? Any cloud-based
service. Or your AWS storage.
Exactly. And it needs to be backed up, not to itself. That would be kind of silly, wouldn't it? Back it up to another cloud service.
Right.
Of course, if you find the cloud service you're using to back up the cloud service is got their servers in that cloud service.
And I'm going to tell you this, people, Eric is saying that because it happened.
It does.
It happens all the time.
Right. So you're sitting there doing your due diligence. I'm going to get my 365. I'm going to use a company that's going to back up my data. And of course, you didn't know that they're using the same Microsoft Azure servers as to run their tool.
Right.
And so if that entire thing gets ransomed, which it could happen.
It absolutely could.
Even your restoration process could be out of luck. So pay attention. You need to back up your cloud to a different cloud. And that way you can get your data back. And these services are really pretty good until they're not.
And that's part of the problem. People get into a rhythm with it.
Right.
Where they expect it works in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's there every day. It works fine. No problems. But when something goes wrong, like somebody deletes something that they probably shouldn't have.
Right.
And the rug gets pulled out from under everybody else, then it becomes a major issue.
Right. So there's nothing you can do but sit and wait until Microsoft fixes it.
Right.
So the cloud is what it is. Just make sure you understand that it needs to get backed up. I'm not sure how many times we've told you that in our existence here. And hopefully you'll keep remembering that. What else did you want to bring up, Dennis?
There's an article here from Dan Gooden over at Ars Technica.
Nice.
About a particular feature of Windows domain controller servers that can be used in certain instances to help magnify distributed denial of service attacks.
That's not good.
And that, according to him, that is fueling some of these really mega DDoS attacks that we've seen over the last few months.
We'll give you an example, I think, when recently the airports websites got impacted by some Russian, who knows, who wanted to make sure that we couldn't look at the airport websites, which, by the way, we don't care. You look at the airlines, buddy. Don't look at the airport. Those airport websites are pretty useless. But they brought down the airport websites with a denial of service attack.
Yeah. And that was one that had like trillions of packets that were traveling through the internet at one point,
right,
to take them all down.
And these servers are—they're saying in this article, Microsoft servers on the cloud could have been not even necessarily in the cloud. Is that your, or is
well? Here's the problem. This is what I was talking to you right before we went on the air.
Yeah,
is that under normal circumstances when you set up a domain controller?
Yeah,
it isn't going to be directly exposed to the internet.
Right.
So it's going to be behind a firewall, mm-hmm. and you might have a firewall rule that sends particular kinds of traffic to it, to and from it. But the particular kind of traffic that's being used for this is not something that you're normally going to allow through. The question I have is, who is the idiot
that configured these servers?
Their firewall
in
such a way as to expose their server to that traffic, or worse,
right,
who is the real stupido who made their domain controller a direct internet-facing server?
Lots of folks don't
I'm sure it happens.
Well, lots of folks on firewalls don't start with deny all. They they start with, oh, I think I'll just block this and block that. No, you start with deny all. And then you open the ports you want.
Right. Well, all I'm getting at is it's one thing for Microsoft to make this particular service that was taken advantage of.
Right.
Turn it on by default on the domain controllers. It's another thing for you as a system admin to configure your network in such a way that it exposes it to the internet. And that, I think, is
really
where the real problem lies.
Yeah, let's hope it's not too many people doing it, but it is in an article for
enough
you to
of
read.
Them are doing it to make it effective.
Yeah, we'll put it there for you guys over at Computer Talk with Tab. Mike Gies will post it over at our Facebook page and over at Twitter. Hey, did you hear Elon bought it?
Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hear that.
Let that sink in. He literally brought a sink to the office to let it sink in. I'm excited about it. We'll see what happens with that. People were saying, he's not going to do it. Well, you never know what Elon's going to do. That's the kind of the great thing about Elon. Alice, Mark, hang on. We're going to get to your calls next. We're going to step out for a quick break. Carolyn doing her magic on this holiday weekend here. Although I hate Halloween. I don't know about you, Dennis. I think geeks don't like Halloween. Do you like Halloween?
I used to like it. I'm not much into it anymore.
My least favorite of all the things we had to do with the kids. I just hated it. I mean, the jello shots when you're walking around the neighborhood were nice. But other than that. All right, let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Alice in Cheshire first. What's happening, Alice?
Hi.
Hi there.
You're talking to someone who heard your very first computer talk with Tab.
Really, Alice?
Yes.
Awesome.
I think in the mid-90s.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, my problem is that I was an avid computer user, and then when I had my cataract surgery, it left me so that I just could not look at any kind of no TV, no movies, no computer.
Mm.
But I have got a young man helping me, and we're looking into a talking computer.
Yes.
And okay. So he has suggested the, well, you always talk about HP, so I told you that. Pavilion 360 laptop, does that?
Yeah, a Pavilion's more of a consumer grade level, and that's fine.
Yeah, that
well,
should
I
do
don't
what you need it to.
I mean, this is not somebody that's going to live on it.
Nope.
But
no.
The other thing he got was a Books, B-O-O-X, mirror, which is cuts the glare and the backlight that you put over the screen of the, of the computer. Have you heard of that?
Nope, and we're looking it up right now.
No, it's the first time I've ever heard of it.
Well, it does cut down the problem. We haven't really gotten totally set up. We tried that because I haven't gotten connected with a provider and things. I just wondered if you had any other suggestions. You think that Pavilion, I don't need, a lot because when you were talking about the cloud, I learned long ago that you said no cloud.
Well, we can change. We can all change. There are some benefits.
No, I do not want to do that.
That's fine.
Are you still recommending like a 1 gigabyte hard drive?
No, that's 1995 speed sizes.
Yeah.
Okay.
One
what
gig
are you recommending for saving things if I do not want to go to the cloud?
500 gigs.
Oh, a 500 gigabyte hard drive. Okay.
Yeah.
It's almost like you started listening in 95, stopped altogether, and here we are 25 years later. And that's what 1 gig of drive space wouldn't make you very happy. So 500 gigs.
500 gigabyte hard drive.
Now, that Onyx monitor is really, really expensive.
Oh, yes. I know. But if it's a difference between my being able to use a computer and not using a computer, that's worth a lot to me because I'm just finding that it's getting harder and harder. And if I could just dictate, like letters or any kind of information to the computer and then have it printed out, then I can read off of a piece of paper. I just cannot read off of a screen.
Well, so I don't know that they market themselves as any... They're a little... they talk about maybe deeper blacks and deep, more intense colors. I don't know that you're buying this for the right reasons. I don't know that you're going to... You could probably spend a whole lot less money, you know, eight times less, and find yourself with the ability to have your friend adjust the monitor to deal with glare and deal with brightness.
Well, Windows 10 or Windows 11, which is what she'll get,
right,
has accessibility controls in it.
Right.
It has a high contrast and large font scheme that you can invoke. And then, you know, it'll change how the computer looks.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be able to read things a lot easier. So, and there's a lot of people that use that feature.
So before you buy that really, really, really expensive monitor, try a regular one with those features turned on that Dennis just talked about, accessibility features. And
What kind of features was that?
It's called accessibility.
Accessibility. So
Microsoft has worked pretty hard to try to make their software more friendly to folks that have all sorts of issues. They give you the ability to kind of adjust the way the screen looks. So buy a more inexpensive monitor, or ask if your friend if you can borrow their monitor and connect it to the computer you're buying, and see by setting up those accessibility features if it works. If it does work, you're going to save like $700 on the monitor you're looking at.
Well, I'm aware, but he actually got it, and he got it for a bargain. So
okay,
because it was the last one left, so it is not as expensive as, you know, I know what he told me the base price was.
And
so we've gotten a good deal on that if
all right.
You want to use it.
Well, make sure you still may have to set up those accessibility settings
to help
you.
Definitely. Okay. They could still work with this other monitor. Sure.
Right. I wrote that down, and I'll talk to him about that.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right, Alice.
Okay.
So you're on your way. We appreciate you listening to us for so long.
Oh, yeah,
well,
definitely.
Well, I've learned a lot, and I learned a lot during the time that I really was using a computer. I was a school library media specialist. I converted the entire library from the drawers of card catalog to a computerized card catalog.
Nice. Very nice job.
With a lot of good help from parent volunteers.
Sounds good, Alice. Well, thank you for calling us. We got to step out for a break. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back. Mark, hang on. This is Computer Talk. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. You might hear every spooky theme possible this morning. The Monster Mash would be a good one. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Mark in East Heartland. What's happening, Mark?
Hello?
Hello, sir.
Okay, I bought a wireless weather station, and it says to connect to the...
Well, wait a minute, Mark. We are the wireless weather station. What are you buying that anything for?
Well, anyway, it says to connect to the thing in the
connect to the thing. What thing?
So when I connect to the, it says no internet, comma open.
Okay.
So it's connecting wirelessly, but it won't connect to the internet.
Whose wireless internet are you trying to connect to?
Right.
Well, mine, but this is I have Cox.
All right. And you're sure? Do you have any other wireless devices on your network besides the new wireless weather station you purchased?
Yes.
All right. What's the SSID of that wireless access?
For the weather station or for Cox?
For Cox, the thing you're trying to connect to. Mark's wireless. If I walked into your house and I said, hey, Mark, I need to get on your internet,
okay,
I'll see it.
It's F as in Frank, D as in David, 2... E is an Edward, D David.
That's what you called it?
Yeah, that's what they call it, and that's what I use. It's
probably the last four of the Mac on the modem.
Gotcha. All right, that's a funky one. Now, the weather station, does it see it? Does it see that exact SSID when you tried to connect? That you just described? I figured it was going to say Mark's Wi-Fi. But
well, no. When I went to... it sees that, and then it says connect to theirs, which is a PWS-...
No,
you don't.
No,
No, you have to connect to that Cox SSID, and that's why it's saying no internet and then open, because it's connecting to an ad hoc Wi-Fi network that's literally open. It's not encrypted.
Mm.
That's what the word open refers to. So you have to connect to that
the FF,
right.
Mark's okay, Wi-Fi.
Connect to that, and it says secured.
Hey.
Yeah.
So what's the next step? Because underneath it, I see the, it says PWS, the wireless code for the weather station.
I don't know if you need to do anything with
that. It's
almost
like it's seeing itself. It doesn't make any sense.
What it's probably doing is what, like, Roku's and Echo Dots do, which is to put out their own individual ad hoc network, which is how another device will connect with it and then tell it how to connect to your main SID.
Yeah, like you set up any wireless device.
So I think that other network name, I don't think you really need to do anything with it. I think it's just there because it's there.
You would go on to the next step, which would be the app, right?
Right.
You have an app on your phone?
Well, I'm doing it on a PC to try to set this thing up with the, the location and everything else.
All right.
I'm not getting that setup screen.
And you got to log into it now. What IP address would it have gotten? It probably tells you in the configuration here. Okay, go to 192.168.1. Whatever it is.
Yep, that's it.
1.1. Whatever it is. No.
192.168.1.1.
All right. Well, that's unusual.
Well, that would probably be. That might be your own internet gateway that you've already got.
Yeah.
Now, that came with the instruction manual with the weather station.
Well, that's ridiculous. So
it should be grabbing whatever IP address is handed to it by DHCP on your Cox network.
Because if it gave you the 1.1, it'll bang into each other with you'll have an IP conflict is what it's called.
Yeah, and you don't want an IP conflict with your own gateway, that's for sure.
No, that's not
that's the last thing you want.
That's not meaningful conflict. So,
okay.
Are you getting there? Is there any other way besides IP address? I mean, you can type in 192.168.1.1 and see if it talks to you. I doubt it will.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's some kind of common router thing.
Yeah, that's you.
Well, yeah, that's the Cox. Yeah, okay.
That's your gateway. That's your deadbolt on the internet. That's your entry point on the internet, or your entry and exit point on the internet. So whatever they're giving you for instructions there seems a little wacky. Do you have a cell phone?
Yep.
Do they give you a way to configure it with a cell phone?
When I try it with the cell phone, it says the same thing, connected, but no internet.
Well, no, remember, you did it wrong the first time. We fixed that part.
Well, the phone, I think, needs to be on the same Wi-Fi network.
As
the weather station is. Now the weather station is on the Cox network, so yeah. He's got to get the phone onto the Cox network.
You do realize we are the wireless weather station, Mark. We don't have to go through all this trouble. Bob Cox in the morning is like the best weather guy you'll ever listen to. He'll tell you the weather. Right, he'll tell you the weather. Do you really want to rethink this purchase, Mark? I'm just kidding. So you're getting
thinking about that now.
Oh, no, don't give up.
Don't give up. Because you could be on one of the weather stations that all these weather guys talk to. Hey, it's Mark in East Heartland, and he says it's cold.
Yeah.
It's 61 degrees rather than in East Hartford where it's 60. I always find that funny. You've got your weather station online. Now you get an RTFM as to how to get to connect it. To it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just in the blind here. We're just taking we got that device on the internet now.
Right.
Your phone might be easier. Is there any kind of like scan where you can actually do a scan of the device where it'll connect to an app on the device?
No.
All right. That would have been easier.
Yeah.
But you have the app on your phone. You have the weather station app on your phone where you would add a device.
No.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay, let's do that. If you're trying to do it with the browser on your phone, that's the same problem as doing it as the browser on your computer. Try to download the Weather Station app on your phone.
Well, there is no app for it.
All right, this thing's got to go back.
Yeah.
There's no app.
I should get the $300 one instead of the $149.
There you go. The one that has some sort of benefit to you. The app interface, I mean, that's what I would want if I'm going to have any kind of IoT device on my network. So it talks to an app on my phone. But I would try to, you can keep messing with this to figure out what you've got, but we definitely got it on the internet. That I can tell you. If you chose the FF network and now you're online.
And especially if it shows you the word secured, then you know that it's on your secure Wi-Fi network.
The IP address is ridiculous. I don't know why it's giving you that. We're missing something. It shouldn't give you the gateway. What's the next step after the IP address?
Well, it says once you're disconnected to the display console, it says enter that 192.168.1.1, and then you can set up the weather server connection, it says. But
is there a device that actually has a screen? This little weather station has a screen?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh.
So it wants you to put in 192.168.1.1 as the gateway on the so it knows what to do. Is that what you're talking about? Are you actually typing it in on the device?
Yeah. Well, there's no place to type it in on the device.
Man.
Well, wouldn't it have gotten that from the...
I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws here. Do they have support?
Yep.
They do?
Not till Monday.
Oh,
I got this thing yesterday and at 2:30, and their support line closed at 2.
I know, isn't that a bummer? Oh. So you're gonna have to sit there and wait. All right, so I would tell you to wait till Monday. Yeah. There's something we're missing without seeing.
Yeah,
You're closer. You're closer. Or you could just return it, save the money, and listen to Bob Cox.
Well, I really appreciate it. You guys are wonderful. I listen to you every weekend.
Thanks, Mark. I wish we could be more help in this one.
Okay, take care. Have a happy Halloween.
Yeah, well, great. Thanks. Yeah. I'm just hoping our house doesn't get egged. All right. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. We have one line open.
Graveyard.
Yes, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls. You've filled up our board this morning, which is great. Keeping us busy. We're going to go to John in Mansfield. What's happening, John?
I have an issue where we have changed internet providers to your recommended GoNet speed.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
It is very nice. Great people. Mm-hmm. Problem I have is we have an old email address that automatically populates when we wish to send out an email.
Right.
And I was able to do it on my phone, but I can't do it on the other phone. And Apple says you've got to do it through Google.
Do what?
Get rid of the old address, the Cox address.
Okay, so you're going to get rid of you have Gmail on your Apple phone?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Gotcha. And that's going to be your mail reader, your mail client, as it were. And you've got it configured for Cox.
Correct. And I'm trying to get rid of the Cox address so that my wife doesn't keep chewing me out.
Your wife keeps chewing you out because of that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, wives. I don't know what's happened to them these days. Are you sure you can't configure it in the app? I'm not an Apple user, but I would think you'd configure it in your iPhone app, not on the website. The app itself, I mean, in my Gmail app, I set up mailboxes for different services. That'd be in the app. It wouldn't be anywhere else, right?
I would think that it is in the Gmail app settings, and there should be some way to get to the accounts that are connected there.
Right.
And then find the account and remove it.
Okay, so I'm in the settings page now. Which app would I go to? Control Center? General?
You can open up Gmail,
You have to bring up the Gmail app settings.
Okay. All right, so I'm in the Gmail, search in mail, inbox. No, that's just stuff.
Is there any ellipses that you touch? I mean, I'm not an Apple user, but whatever. Is there a sprocket equivalent?
There should be some kind of a menu button.
Okay, it says manage your Google account.
There you go.
So we'll hit that. And data and privacy, personal info, security, and home.
All right. It's not going to be in that. What we need to do.
We need to look it up.
We need to find out how to get that account removed. The other place you might look is in the general settings app for the phone itself.
Really?
Yeah. Scroll down to mail. And then tap that, and I think there's a manage accounts entry there.
There's an account that say two.
All right.
Gmail and iCloud.
All right, so it's not going to be the iCloud account.
You don't want to remove the Gmail account because...
Well, tap the Gmail and see what it shows you.
It's showing me her correct Gmail address.
All right, that's fine then. All right, then it's not going to be there.
No, right. It's got to be in the app.
It's got to be in the app itself.
We will find this for you, John. And we'll find a link. Now, I got a question for you. Yeah, you've already moved you're going to now have chosen a different mail service, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you've already forwarded 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No wonder she's mad.
Well, you know, you pray for patience, you get a wife.
So we'll find that for you. We'll find the configuration for you. You've already done all your forwarding. It sounds like you're in good shape, I would assume. You're ready to turn off that mail service. Are you paying Cox for any mail service?
Oh, gosh, no.
Oh, good. So we'll find that. It's got to be something really easy to link over at Computer Talk with Ted.
I think I've got a link.
You got it?
Tell him how to do it.
Oh, we got some coming through Mike G, too.
Oh, he's got one?
He's an Apple guy.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, there we go. Easy ways to delete an account from the Gmail app. There's five steps to do it. That's not that easy.
Well, it's tap here, open this list, tap that, and you're done.
Yeah, we'll get you that link over there for you. John, all for you, and then your wife will be happy.
Okay.
All right, sir. And what did you pick for internet speed, for GoNetSpeed?
500.
Nice. And this is in Mansfield?
No, Plantsville.
Plantsville. Okay, Carolyn didn't hear you right. Plantsville. That makes more sense. Southington area.
Have you got time for a short story about them?
Yeah, sure.
All right. The pole outside of our house was hit by a truck, and Eversource replaced it, and they were kind enough to leave 8 inches of the fiber optic hanging from the pole and 8 inches from the underground to the house. I called GoNetSpeed. We live on a curve. He says, well, we'll have to come out tomorrow with two trucks just to make sure we don't get hit.
Yeah.
That was in the morning. At 3 p.m, he called. We're all set.
Nice.
It's done. And I said, great. Wow. What do I owe you? He says, well, send me the bill and I'll send it to Eversource. He says, it's not worth the effort. Just pass the good word that GoNetSpeed is here for you.
Nice. And
wonderful people.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Yeah, they are.
And they're definitely bringing that competition. They're lowering everybody's internet prices, even if you can't get them. So even if you can't get their service, thank them. When you see a GoNetSpeed out there, truck, just say, hey, thanks, guys. You lowered my internet bill.
Yeah.
All right, John?
Yep.
All right, the link's out there for you now, sir. Good luck.
So where do I get the link, please?
ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
I can do that. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yeah. Right, you're welcome.
My wife thanks you.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. He's got something to do. 2 years. I didn't configure email for my wife's computer for about 3 weeks after we changed to GoNetSpeed and configured a new Proton mailbox. And man, was she mad. She couldn't get her email. When are you going to change my email? Yes, she's... You're right. You're right, honey. All right, let's go on to Lee in Ashford. What's happening, Lee?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So I got a question you guys can probably help me with. I got a suspicious email, in my email last weekend. It said, Mary wants to be friends on Facebook. I thought, well, okay, but that's odd. I thought we were already friends, but
yeah,
I said, okay, I'll accept friends. Well, I guess a little while later, or maybe a day later, I got a message. How are you? Is all well with you? I said, I'm doing okay.
Right.
And that was it. Well, the next day I woke up in the morning, I had a message on my phone, and it came at 3:18 in the morning.
Yes, which is, I think that's like 10:30 Uzbekistan time.
yeah.
But go ahead.
It says, you know, a long sp- feel about, oh, I'm glad that you're okay, and my doctor says I got a sore throat, and yeah. and it was a long thing, but all the words were not in the order that a regular Englishman speaks.
Right, Uzbekistanian. Yeah.
So,
you know,
I didn't respond, but then I called Mary. I says, "Did you send me this message at 3:18 in the morning?" She said, "No, that's not me."
Right.
So, who was it, and what happened?
Well, people are counterfeiting people's Facebook accounts. So,
yes,
you've heard of Elon Musk, right?
Yeah.
He just dumped a lot of bot accounts out of Twitter. Those are also fake accounts designed to do all sorts of things. So, bad guys are taking pictures that you post up there, making a fake Facebook account. Facebook is not policing it. There's no blue check mark to say this is Mary, and they've confirmed that it's Mary. Twitter, supposedly, that blue check mark in Twitter confirms you are an actual person. So Facebook really doesn't have a confirmation system like that I understand that they don't. So anybody can create a counterfeit account, and then what they do is they try to leverage your relationship, hoping you have enough of a relationship that you're going to actually act on the scam they're trying to play on you. So you should delete that particular Mary account from your Facebook.
Unfriend that Mary.
And block. Unfriend and block.
And block, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think I went and I restricted that one.
Good. Okay. You did a good job.
Block it. Should I block it?
Well, if you don't want to get bothered.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I called Mary and she said she's going to change her password on
Facebook. Nope, that's not changing nothing.
That's not, I don't even think that's relevant. Somebody just kind of copied her and created their own account with her name.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where did they get it? From my Facebook?
Nope. They can go on her Facebook, take pictures. They counterfeited it. We'll talk about it more.
They scraped it from Facebook in general.
We'll talk about it more, Lee, after the break, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right. Thanks for calling. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knix Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.